I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The number of people killed, injured, and homeless in Haiti are just guesses, but even if they're merely close to the real figures, they suggest a scope of tragedy that's almost impossible to comprehend. Roughly 200,000 people are thought to have died in last week's earthquake, another 250,000 were injured, and 1.5 million were left homeless. But aid is starting to get through. Laura Blank is the disaster communications manager with the Christian humanitarian organization World Vision. She's in the capital, Port-au-Prince. Blank says her group got going on day one.
We've started distributions almost instantly after the earthquake. We had some supplies here in our warehouse, and we also had some supplies that we had pre-positioned before the hurricane season. So we got those out pretty quickly, and that was primarily medical supplies that we distributed to about 10 hospitals in the area. Since then, we've really been focusing on food and water and non-food items. That's things like clothing and hygiene kits, just in two neighborhoods right here around the office. We really want to focus on this community. Our target is 25,000 families that would be helped in the next 3 months.
What is the biggest challenge for you right now in terms of security, and how are you as an NGO handling that?
We have two priorities. One is our staff safety. If we aren't safe and we aren't cared for, then we won't be able to help the people, and that's really what we want to do. But the second priority is then to get this food out quickly. We don't want to hold on to it. We want to be able to get it distributed quickly to those who need it. So what we're doing actually today is working with our security staff to put together a plan that incorporates the people on the ground in the camps as well as our staff and local security to make sure that these run well. And that's to protect the people themselves, because a lot of times what happens is, you know, one person gets overeager or anxious and it can get wild very quickly, and people can get injured, and we don't want that to happen.
Laura, we heard today from the United Nations that the fuel situation in Haiti is so dire that road deliveries of aid are in jeopardy, and so are mobile phone networks. That's food and communications. What exactly is the fuel situation right now, and is it affecting World Vision yet?
Well, I got here shortly after the earthquake. It was Thursday morning, and ever since I've been here, those are the two things that we've really found the most challenging: transportation and information. Fuel is at a premium right now. Everywhere you drive in the city, you get into it. If you get into a traffic jam, it's most likely because there are long, long lines outside all of the gas stations. Yesterday, we heard from OCHA at the meeting in the morning that they were estimating just 2 to 3 days of fuel was left in Port-au-Prince. So we've been trying to figure out how can we bring in additional fuel. So thankfully, World Vision has staff in the Dominican Republic who actually drove in a barrel of gasoline for us. We were able to fuel up our vehicles and get out to the distributions. But there's no question that that is maybe one of the biggest challenges we have.
And Laura, where are you sleeping?
I've been sleeping in a different place every night, actually. The first night we found lodging with a teammate, and we stayed at her house and crashed on the couch. Many of our staff are just sleeping in the office. We've set up what we affectionately call Hotel World Vision, and they're staying at sleeping bags in tents or cots. But, you know, a lot of our staff have been affected by the earthquake, just like the people here in these communities, and many of them lost their homes. So while our staff are dealing with the trauma of seeing their city destroyed, they are also experiencing their own suffering.
And Laura, you're there on the ground. I mean, what can you tell us about just the scene in Port-au-Prince that we're not seeing in television pictures or in stills?
I think one of the things that's most striking to me is driving around at night. When you drive around at night, the city feels a little bit calmer. You know, the city has started to go to bed, but you see and hear two things that I think are just really telling, just very interesting. When you're driving along, you'll see a lot of fires or kind of homemade roadblocks out of cinder blocks or branches and trees. People are barricading themselves on the road and sleeping lined up row by row on the right-hand side of the road where you'd be driving. You see families and small children and the elderly just sleeping on the road because they're afraid to go back inside their homes. If they have homes, they don't want to be inside a building. The aftershocks have continued. We felt them just a day or so ago. So they're afraid to be inside buildings, and they're sleeping outside. So you see that everywhere. But also, when you listen at night, people are singing. They're singing hymns. They're praying. And this isn't in a church service, but just in the camps themselves. They're singing traditional Haitian songs. And it's been interesting to me to listen to the way that they're responding to the disaster in the midst of all of this misery and suffering, that at nighttime they're singing. But the other thing that you notice here is the smell. A lot of these camps are very unsanitary. There's nowhere for them to use the restroom. Many of the camps that we've been to have said they still have people who are injured. Some of them have said they have dead bodies that they don't know how to get rid of. And so, you know, you're putting all of these people together in small spaces with children, with injuries, with illness, and there is a smell that is so distinct when you drive past the camps. Actually, almost everyone that you see walking around is wearing masks now, either a bandana tied around their face or just kind of a face mask to prevent the smell, because it can be really overpowering.
Laura Blank, Disaster Communications Manager with the NGO World Vision, speaking to us from Port-au-Prince. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.